Sahana.
Avu.
Avu.
The Gopi said.
The Gopi said.
Cha.
Cha.
And
te.
Your.
Your.
Nalina Nava.
Nalina Nava.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Whose navel is just like a lotus flower.
Whose navel is just like a lotus flower.
Padavadundam.
Padavadundam.
Lotus feet.
Lotus feet.
Yogeshwarai.
Yogeshwarai.
The great mystic yogis.
Great mystic yogis.
Pretty. Within the heart, Vichintyam, to be meditated upon, Agada Bodhi, who were highly learned philosophers,
Samsara Kupa,
the dark well of material existence, Patita, of those fallen, Uttarana,
of the deliverers,
Avalambam,
the only shelter,
Geham,
family affairs,
Usham,
of those engaged,
Appi,
low,
Manasi,
in the minds,
Kudya,
let be awakened.
Sada,
always,
not
our.
Translation, the gopis spoke thus, dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Purport of translation word means for this verse is taken from Philip Alcock's English memory of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where this verse is quoted, revealing the jealous mood in which the gopis spoke these deceptively reverential words. Vishnu Chakravarti gives their statements as follows. O Supreme Lord, O directly manifest Super Soul, O crest jewel of instructors in a definitive knowledge, you were aware of our excessive attachment to home, property, and family. Therefore, you previously had Uddhava instruct us in the knowledge that dispels ignorance, and now you have done so yourself. In this way, you have purified our hearts of contamination, and as a result, we understand your pure love for us, free from any motivation other than assuring our liberation. But we are only unintelligent cowardly. How can this knowledge remain fixed in our hearts? We cannot even meditate steadily on your feet with focus and realization for great souls like Lord Brahma. Please be merciful to us, and some will make it possible for us to concentrate on you, even a little. We are still suffering the reactions of our own fruit of work. So how can we meditate on you, the goal of great yogis? Such yogis are immeasurably wise, but we are mere feeble-minded women. Please do something to get us out of this deep well of material life. Pure devotees are never motivated by desire for material elevation or spiritual liberation, and even if the Lord offers them benedictions, the devotees often refuse to accept them, as stated by Lord Krishna in the 11th canto of Sri Bhagavatam, the kinship Sarvodhi Rabhakta Hi Ekanti No Mama Vachantyapi Maya Dattam Kaivalyam Apunar Bhavam. Because my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence, they completely dedicate themselves to me and do not desire anything besides me. Indeed, even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it. It is quite appropriate, therefore, that the gopis respond with a trace of jealous anger to Lord Krishna's attempt at teaching them again yoga. Thus, according to the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the words of the yogis speak in this verse may be interpreted as follows. O sun, who directly destroys the darkness of ignorance, we are scorched by the sun rays of this philosophical knowledge. We are chakora birds who can subsist only on the moonlight. radiating from your beautiful face. Please come back to Vrindavan with us, and in this way, bring us back to life. And if he says, then come to Dwarka, there we will enjoy together. They reply that Sri Vrindavan is their home, and they are too attached to it for them to take up residence anywhere else. Only there, the gopis imply, can Krishna attract them by wearing peacock feathers in his turban and playing enchanting music with his flute. Only by his appearing again in Vrindavan can the gopis be saved, not by any kind of meditation on him or theoretical knowledge of the self. Thus, any purports of the humble service of his divine great lady, the Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the 10th canto, 82nd chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna and Balaram, we can have it as a Vrindavan. Translation: the gopis spoke with us, dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that the lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. So as we have seen, Krishna spoke like a jnani and advised the gopis to meditate on him like jnanis or yogis. And here we find that the gopis reply in a similar type of way by talking about the yogis of great intelligence who meditate upon the Supreme Lord in their hearts. And that Supreme Lord is described as not only very beautiful by having lotus feet and lotus navel, but also to be the one who actually gives liberation from this material world. And so they say, well, that is good for yogis, but we are not so qualified. We are stuck in material affairs. We are vyasas. So this is not a very suitable instruction for us. So that is the direct meaning of the words here. But as the purport explains, actually the whole discourse that Krishna gives here, at least the superficial meaning, is very dissatisfying to the gopis, because he's telling them to be jnanis or yogis, which is a very inferior position. And here he talks about, they mention that the Lord is the source of deliverance from the material world. So that refers to liberation. Often in the Bhagavatam we'll find verses, and also in Bhagavad-gita and other places, that the Lord is the source of destruction of the material world, destruction of false ego. So this actually indicates liberation from the material world. So, as we know, liberation is rejected by the real devotees of the Lord. They don't care for liberation at all. So, by mentioning that here, you are the source of liberation, they're actually indicating to Krishna that his statements are not satisfying, and they're actually untrue, because they have no interest in getting liberation from the material world. And though Krishna can do that, that is not their goal. So when Krishna speaks about jnana and yoga, then he's indicating liberation. And this is contrary to the feelings of the gopis. They don't desire that at all. So in other words, they're rejecting his statements completely. And they're saying this is not very suitable advice for us. And what do they really want? So, as sometimes that is not directly stated, here they simply say, we are very fallen and we can't act like the jnanis and yogis. So what do they actually want? That's what they actually want, Krishna. They don't want to meditate on Krishna in their heart or see him indirectly like the yogis. They actually want Krishna to return to Vrindavan. That is their goal. Here they're in Kurukshetra. So in one sense, they're meeting the Lord, that is true.
But as expressed in Lord Chaitanya's verse that he recited in front of the wrath cart, the gopis were not satisfied with that because it was not the same. Kurukshetra is not Vrindavan, and Krishna in Kurukshetra is not the same Krishna. So, according to the place, there is a difference. So, if Krishna is in Vrindavan, yes, then they'll be satisfied. And that is actually demonstrated later after Krishna kills Dantavakra at the southern gate of Mathura. Then it's described in the Padma Purana that he returns to Vrindavan. And then the gopis are very satisfied because he kept his promise and he returned. So there's no need for them then to say, well, it's not the same. It is exactly the same because Krishna is the same age as when he left. He's not aged at all, he's the same age. And he just puts on his cowherd boy dress and puts on his feathers, and he's exactly the same as he was when he left. So there's no difference at all. But when he's in Kurukshetra and in Dwarka, then he is different because even though he's the same person, he's surrounded by all these people who worship him as their king and his god. He has on his royal dress and his crowns, etc. And the mood is completely different. So therefore, that is why the gopis are not satisfied. And of course, this is also Krishna's intention. We say that actually he understands that the gopis cannot be satisfied by anything but Krishna being in Vrindavan with them. All these words are actually simply to indicate to the gopis that anything other than going back to Vrindavan will not be satisfying to you or to me. So therefore later on he fulfills that promise and he goes back to meet them. So these gopis here are actually, though they are praising the yogis and the jnanis because they meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord who gives them liberation, actually they're condemning everything. So we cannot take the direct meaning. We have to understand that actually this is a rejection of yoga and jnana and liberation. The excuse, of course, they gave it, we are just householders and we are not, we're cowherd people and we have no qualification for this. But the real reason is that any devotee who has pure love of the Lord will reject this also, not just the cowherd people of Vrindavan. All of the devotees of the Lord will reject liberation in this process. Pure devotees have no mixture of jnana or yoga or karma, so therefore they don't want this type of solution to the problem, and they have no admiration for the jnanis and yogis. So though they say that we are just lowly people not qualified for this process, actually it is the contrary. They are superior to the jnanis and the yogis. They have, because of their complete devotion to the Lord, they have no interest in liberation at all. And because they are perfect devotees of the Lord, they surpass liberation. Even a person on the stage of bhava takes liberation as insignificant. It is moksha, laguta, krit. The person in bhava stage that thinks that liberation is useless and insignificant and rejects it. So what to speak of a person in prema? And furthermore, what to speak of the inhabitants of Vrindavan who are higher than all the other persons in prema? And then what to speak of the gopis who among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan are the topmost devotees? So definitely they have no interest in liberation at all, and jnana, etc. So therefore those words of Krishna are not satisfying to him when he says you meditate on in the heart. And of course Krishna also knows this, and therefore this is just a, we can say more or less a test to see what the gopis will say when he suggests jnana. So we are not satisfied with getting liberation from the material world, even though we are playing the role of householders bound up in the material world. Liberation is useless for us, and all we want is your direct service to you and Vrindavan. That's all that will satisfy us. So that is the highest kind of desire, simply the desire to serve the Lord. And in response to that, of course, then the Lord supplies everything that is necessary for that service. So they get proper spiritual forms and place and relationship with the Lord by which this is fulfilled. So in this way, the Krishna is indirectly, by this means, he is showing the elevated nature of the gopis. So even though Dwarka and Mathura and Kurukshetra all have Krishna, these places are not satisfying to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They cannot be satisfied with that in that place. And so that is why it is said in the Nectar Devotion that Dwarka is Purna, Mathura is Purnatara, and Vrindavan is Purnatama. Vrindavan is the most perfect. So the people of Vrindavan, they only want to be in Vrindavan. They are not satisfied with Dwarka or Mathura and that. So that is why they always return. The cowherd men returned from Mathura. They didn't stay in Mathura with Krishna. And when Krishna invites the inhabitants of Raja to Dwarka, then they refuse. They say, we cannot be satisfied with this either. Why? Because the place and the people and Krishna himself are slightly different there. Even though it is the same Krishna, it's slightly different. So therefore the inhabitants of Vrindavan are the highest, and the gopis are the highest among all of the gopis. So that is what is pointed out here. It's a glorification of the love of the gopis for Krishna, which is very, very pure. Well, I have four types of people who surrender to the Lord. There's different interpretations, of course, but of course, at least three are mixed. Karma, Mr. Bhakti, Jnana, Mr. Bhakti, basically. And even the so-called Jnani is considered by some to be mixed also by the involved, considered some pure devotee. So, in either case, the first three mixed devotees, if they get association with pure devotees who have no desire for liberation or getting rid of material suffering or attaining material assets as well as the bhakti, then by that association they advance and they become suddhavakas. So they get the same result as the suddha devotees. If they do not change and they continue with mixed bhakti, Karma Mr. Bhakti or Jnana Mr. Bhakti, then the result will be slightly different. That is, that the Lord will respond to them better than he responds to the Jnanis and the Karmis. The Jnanis get liberation, the Karmis get Sparva Loka. So he'll give them something better than that, because they worship the Lord. But at the same time, he will not give them the same position as those who are have Suddha Bhakti, Pure Bhakti. So, therefore, what does he give them? If the Jnanis get liberation and the devotees get a position in the spiritual world in a relationship with Krishna, like Dasya, etc., then what do the Jnanis get? Or the Jnanis or Bhaktas, which do they get? So they get better liberation but less than the devotees. So, therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the Lord takes them to the spiritual world also. But they'll have an inferior relationship with the Lord because of the Jnanis or Bhaktas has got a weaker relationship. So they end up as Shantarasa, in which they see the Lord, but relationship is very neutral. That must, certainly there is prema, as part of prema, and therefore they have ecstatic symptoms, But still the relationship is very, very distant and neutral. And then because of the mixture of jnana and the bhakti, slight mixture of jnana, so therefore we lose that bhakti. As for the karmas for bhaktas, he also says they have a slight desire for enjoyment. And they want something, they want liberation from the material world, they want some enjoyment as well as the bhakti. So that is also, even though technically one is not qualified for the spiritual world with any mixture of gross material desire, by the performance of that bhakti, the Lord becomes merciful and takes them to the spiritual world where they are free from ahankara and material body, etc. And they get a place in the spiritual world. So they get salokya and salokya, but not samipya. No. Closeness to the Lord. So they live in the spiritual world, the spiritual bodies, and they got powers and wealth and everything like that because they wanted such things. So they get all these things, but they don't have direct association with the Lord. So the only way they associate with the Lord, because we're devotees, is through meditation, thinking of it. So it's even slightly less than the Gyanis who can directly see the Lord, but they got Shantarasa. So the Karmamrita Bhaktas have a Shantarasa also, but even more distant. And they're more absorbed in their identity to the spiritual world. That can be Vaikuntha also. Shantarasa and Vaikuntha. Yeah, Shantarasa is there and Vaikuntha as well.
I don't know, just for different rasa,
what about the rasa in the spiritual world? Well, it's not described in that way. Usually the rasa that you have in the spiritual world is cultivated in your sadhana, when you're practicing on earth or somewhere in the material world. And birth after birth, you develop a certain attraction to a certain form of the Lord, like Nishrima or Rama or Krishna or Parama or whoever. And then you develop a particular relationship there with the Lord through that sadhana. And then you go into bhava stage and you actually see the Lord. And then you go to prema from that, and then you go to the spiritual world. So more or less it follows your sadhana in the material world. It doesn't jump after you go to the spiritual world.
So there's no progress?
You're more or less fixed there. It seems to be fixed. And that is fixed by your sadhana. That's your choices in the material world. Because it would be rather strange if you perfected yourself in the material world and you develop a strength for Rama and suddenly you're not the spiritual world and you end up with Krishna suddenly. What's that? So it seems naturally, whatever your sadhana you do and whatever your aspirations are here are filled by the Lord and you develop that in the spiritual world, it doesn't change.
How can you explain about Gopamara,
where he went through Vaikuntha? Yeah, but he had no satisfaction with that. It was just like seeing it. Just as described that the some devotees, devotees, especially the yogis and other ones, but even some devotees, they do sadhana. And then they go off to, on the way to go to the spiritual world, then they get a view of the material world, and they go to Svargaloka, and Janaloka, and Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka, and they get a little sightseeing on the way, and after that's all finished, then they go to the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world also, of course, Gopakumar went to the material world all the way up, and then he went to the spiritual world, and went all the way up that way also. But he was not satisfied actually with any of those experiences until they came to Krishna.
So it's a fulfillment of a particular desire that you had, that's where
you stop. Yeah. What a satisfying achievement is what you attain.
How do we understand in relation to Prabhupada explaining we came from a particular position in the spiritual world, so then we come here and then sort of may develop like Kala Mishra, Dhyana Mishra, Bhakti, and then goes back. But then how does that relate to us reattaining our lost?
Well, I suppose you say maybe that was their position, something like that. But it's kind of theoretical to describe our latent position or whatever our potential position, because we don't know the Krishna. I would say everything's ultimately up to Krishna, but we're in science, so we don't know. you know, the past, the far past, and we don't know the far future. So we just have to depend on Krishna and solve his arrangements.
Where did he explain this out about the Yamanishram, the Kalamishram, the
distance? In the purport of Bhagavad Gita, for the chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu has explained about that. I don't think Baladeva gets into the details on that. No, I don't think that's that's, and it comes from Bhagavad's commentaries also, Vishnu, about the different places you go with the different Mr. Bhakti. But of course, if you associate with devotees when you're karma Mr. Bhakti, you may become a pure devotee also. Or even if, like, just for a Gyani, you may become a devotee. Sukadeva Goswami is actually Papa Gyani. But by the mercy of the Lord, and then he became not only a pure devotee, but highest pure devotee. So if one gets the merciful association of devotees in this material world, then even the Mr. Bhaktas, Karma Mr. Gyan, Mr. Bhaktas can change, and even the Gyanis and Karmas can change, and the Yogis can change. Well, we've seen in the Bhagavatam in many places, they'll say, well, whether we're in heaven or hell, it doesn't matter, as long as we can serve the Lord. So the desire to serve the Lord is higher than the quest of liberation. And whether, if it is without the service to the Lord, we do not desire Sarupyas, Anithyas, Lokyas, Sarsi, etc. In other words, there is a theoretical position where one could be near the Lord but not serve Him, so that's not desired. rather, the better we are distant from the Lord, at least we serve Him and remember Him at all times. So that is preferable. But in the course of serving the Lord, and the Lord fulfills that desire, and the usual case is that you go to the spiritual world to have a spiritual body and have association with the Lord, so I don't have certain powers. So those four types of liberation are included, but not desired by the devotee, but they're part of the desire to serve the Lord.
What
should be our aspiration? To serve Krishna. That is the definition of our bhakti. Yeah? Anupunya
Sri Anusudana. We should not say that
our goal is to serve Krishna. No, then that is a type of mukti. That's salokya. Because if we desire to go to the spiritual world and sit there and not serve the Lord, what use is that? Of course, that's impossible also, because everything in the spiritual world serves the Lord, but it is more like liberation. I want to get out of the material world. So then it is more karma Mr. Bhakti. That's organic Mr. Bhakti. Yeah, Mr. Bhakti. So the desire is to serve the Lord.
I'm sure I read in Natural Devotion that when a devotee goes back to Vaikuntha, if they can then develop love for Krishna, then they can go to Krishna Loka.
Of course, we have to be also careful of the words Vaikuntha may be used in a very general sense, spiritual world, sometimes. And the Prabhupada uses Vaikuntha. We also use the word, okay, go to Vaikuntha, but it's spiritual world, not particularly if you're in Vishnu form and like that. It could also mean anything above that. You look around or relate to the Rama. So. But I don't know how to read something like that in the version. The problem with that is, if one kept jumping around, and then where would it end? First we're with Vishnu, then we go up to Rama, then we go to Krishna, then we come back to Vishnu, and we'll be unsteady in the spiritual world, jumping around from one thing to the other, so that's not so good.
Small Krishna Maharaj also asked that question before.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada said, it is possible that in the way it does not happen.
Yeah. Anything can happen by the will of the Lord, but generally when you have a relationship, a particular relationship with, of course the ultimate logic of that would be that finally there would be nobody in the spiritual world, so everyone would be a Krishna, and there would be no other forms left as any servants, because they all have it towards Krishna. Yeah. After time, eternal, everyone would get up into Krishna, and everyone would be a gopi. There'd be no one else in the other regions of the spiritual world, so that's kind of strange. Yeah.
We see that if we are situated in any position, spiritual, are these fully satisfied?
Yeah.
you see that Lakshmi, she is serving in my eyes, that she's not satisfied, she wants to go and live with Krishna and
well, that's a temporary desire expressed, but obviously, if she were completely satisfied with Vishnu, that would not be possible in the spiritual world. But that's there to illustrate the fact that Krishna is even more attractive. But that's a temporary realization she has, and that's not there all the time.
Srila Prabhupada also explained to Maharaj that you can have a mixed rasa, in that you can have a relationship with Lord Chaitanya simultaneously as having a relationship with Krishna.
Oh, that's fine. That's explained also by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But that's a very special case. Lord Chaitanya and Krishna are both Swayam Bhagavan. They're very, very close together. So in realizing one, you can realize the other simultaneously and have two bodies participate in the two leelas simultaneously, more or less. So that's a very special case. But you could not have Ram leela and simultaneously get Krishna leela. That's a little bit difficult because the rasas are rather contrary. That's a very special case. Of course, we can also say even Srivas Pandita thinks like Narada Muni, and he has kind of a relationship with Krishna and with Vishnu.
When the gopis were feeling the separation of Krishna from Vrindavan, when Krishna appeared in Dhammasana, I'm under the impression that he said he never leaves Vrindavan, so what was the food? And is it the same case where he went to Walker? And if he never leaves Vrindavan, what sort of leela is he performing? Like, what the gopis are feeling?
Oh, well, actually, I explained that the other day, that actually he has two forms. One that goes to Mathura and Dwarka, the Prakat form, or the manifested form, and another form that goes to Mathura and goes back to Vrindavan. We don't see that form. But in order to fulfill the desire and the promise he made to the inhabitants back the 3 months we went back. But we don't see that form. And therefore, even the Vrindavasis have two forms, the Prakat form of separation, and then Aprakat form where Krishna came back and they're enjoying their regular pastimes there, but we don't see that. And that would fulfill the promise of the inhabitants.
Okay, so they get that dual identity?
Yeah, they have two identities, one separation. And then later on, Krishna did go back after he went back to Mathura and killed Dantavakra. Then the two kind of merged together when he went back again. And then, it's described in the Padma Purana that he took them all to the spiritual world at that point. And then, he went back to Dwarka. So then another form went back to Dwarka and continued his pastimes for some time. So how possible is the Achintya Shakti of the Lord that he can expand his forms in many ways and be appearing and disappearing?
After Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Kurukshetra, and then he goes back to Vrindavan, he keeps his youthful form. Do the gopis keep their youthful form as well?
Yeah, everybody stays. There's no aging after
that. What about their husbands? Would their husbands be old?
Same. Now, of course, some are eternally elder, so the Yasoda and Nanda are eternally of an older age, and the elder gopis and gopis, they're like that also, and they remain like that. And then Krishna comes up to Kashyap, and the gopis come up to Kashyap, and all these people of their associates, and the cowherd boys and everything, are all stay there at a particular age, wherever they're eternally situated and spiritually. They attain that age, they can't go beyond that. Oh, you mean in tracing the parampara? Yes, because he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to him.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, one reason, of course, could be that was lies in Uddhava in Sampradaya, because Krishna teaches the Uddhava Gita to Uddhava, and then that should carry on that way. A wife in Sukadeva Goswami. That line coming out from that afterwards, and it's simply we have Vyasadeva and we have Madhvacharya, I got it. It's keep everybody out. The Sampradaya is traced in different ways, and it may not include all the prominent people at all times as far as the how we trace it out, and there may be gaps or whatever in terms of time as well. That doesn't mean that therefore they're not included in a very general way, but as far as just, what they record in their lineage, they've chosen another way of doing it. So, if we say Arjuna, then who did Arjuna teach to? We have to ask that question. And we don't really have any records of did he teach the Bhagavad Gita to any particular person, so we can't get down in that way. But nevertheless, that Krishna spoke to Arjuna, and that is included in the Mahabharata. Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata, so obviously that whoever got it from Vyasadeva, that can go on. So whoever he gives it to, then it can go on from there. So one way of tracing it is through Madhvacharya, who met Vyasadeva, so it's a direct line there. There's other lines also, of course, minor, other sampradayas, they may trace back to someone. I don't know if Arjuna's in the line. They may trace to Vyasadeva and someone else, and someone else, and someone else. So there are many different sampradayas and on different lines.
Arjuna doesn't see what Madhuri Shirish is appearing to do.
Oh, more than recorded. He is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita because he exhibited realization of the highest rasas in relation to Radha and Krishna before Lord Chaitanya's time, two generations before, so to speak. He's like the precursor of Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya. As we know, Lord Chaitanya is the one more or less reveals it in a very explicit way, the love of Radha and Krishna, but there are precursors like Jayadeva, Goswami, and others, a few poets. And then Lord Chaitanya makes it very explicit and glorifies Radha and Krishna. So, as far as Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya is concerned, then it's traced back to Madhavendra Puri, who then taught Ishvara Puri gave initiation to Lord Chaitanya. So that's how we get aligned. So that's the importance that he actually had, this sort of realization of the love of Radha and Krishna. And in the, of course, besides that, then he also discovered the deity, the Gopal deity in Vrindavan, and had many pastimes with that deity. But the main idea of the importance is the relationship with Radha and Krishna. And he also expressed Vipralamba Rasa, or the mood of separation, as the highest separation of Krishna from the gopis and gopis from Krishna, that was expressed as the highest thing. So, in other words, Lord Chaitanya's whole concept of prema was straight back to Madhavendra Puri, so that is its significance. And Lord Chaitanya expanded that.
Yeah.